Times, I forget stuff. And while I was sitting there during that last song, I remembered something. And if I don't write it down, I'll forget it again. So I apologize. Okay, so we're getting the English and Spanish at the same time, I think. This happens every so often, and we cannot figure out what causes it. And when we goof around with stuff, we cannot figure out what we did to stop it. So this actually gives me a moment. Are we good now? The headphones are working? Okay. Okay, I'm a little wound up today. A couple of reasons, and we'll just see how this goes. So, did we have the title on the sermon slide? A diluted gospel is no gospel at all. Do you believe there is such a thing as objective, moral, absolute truth? According to research in 2020, 52% do not believe in objective, moral, absolute truth. This survey is not of the general public. Those percentages would be way low. This survey is from a survey of churches like ours, where members were asked the question that I just asked you. Churches where the Bible is held as completely true. Churches that teach the same gospel that we teach. And 52% of the people in those churches, just like ours, do not believe in absolute moral truth. So let me ask you, and don't answer this out loud, let me ask you if this statement is true. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere in what you believe. You think it's true? Don't answer. According to the Bible, that statement is not true. 62% of Christians in churches similar to ours have fallen for that statement. Doesn't matter what you believe. So how about this question? Is this true or false? People are basically good instead of basically sinful. 75% of Christians in churches like ours believe that people are basically good instead of basically sinful. The Bible teaches plainly that we all have the tendency to sin and that we all have sinned. Another question. Did Jesus ever commit a sin? This one really hurts me. All of these hurt me. Did Jesus ever commit a sin? 43% of Christians in churches like ours believe that Jesus sinned during his time on earth. He did not, by the way. The Bible plainly tells us Christ is sinless. He never sinned. A majority of Christians in churches like ours do not believe it is important to follow the Christian faith exclusively, that it's okay to mix in other beliefs. When we were going through the sermon series on Old Testament history, when the people of Israel adopted the idolatry of other belief systems, remember during the kings and the prophets, I mentioned that there would be a sermon soon about the dangers of syncretism. And that's today. That sermon's now. Syncretism is the attempted reconciliation or union of different or opposing principles, practices, or parties, as in philosophy or religion. It's a technical definition. Let me say that again. Syncretism is the attempted reconciliation or union of different or opposing principles, practices, or parties, as in philosophy or religion. Concerning parenting, the authors of this research contended that the biggest mistake that parents make when it comes to instilling a Christian worldview in their children . They prioritize academic achievement, athletic involvement, emotional happiness, good health, as more important than developing a Christian worldview. And the way they determined that, by the way, was by the actions of parents. Parents are more concerned about their kids doing all that other stuff than doing what we're doing right here on Sunday morning, worshiping an almighty God. The letter of Galatians, we're going to be reading from Galatians 1 in just a moment, so go ahead and turn there. The letter of Galatians was written to combat one basic problem. Guess what it was? Syncretism. Some in the New Testament church were attempting to syncretize Christianity with Judaism. They are incompatible. A lot of similarities, but Christianity and Judaism are incompatible. Because Christianity recognizes Jesus Christ as God, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. Judaism does not recognize Jesus Christ as God at all. They are incompatible. They are mutually exclusive. That means you cannot believe both at once. You either believe Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, or you don't believe he's God. You can't believe he is and isn't at the same time. It's contradictory. They were trying to teach that new believers should adopt the whole Mosaic law, including especially circumcision. And this teaching is false according to the Bible. And it is crystal clear in the letter to the churches in Galatia. So let's work through these 10 verses, Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Starting with verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me to the churches in Galatia. Paul was an apostle. He was chosen by God to be a leader in taking the gospel to other people groups that were not Jewish. Now, he by the way, he did take the gospel to Jewish people too, but he was focused on everybody who was not Jewish. And he is writing this letter to several churches in an area called Galatia. This is the area of the Middle East known as the country of Turkey today. Verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So for those of you who are in our small group Bible studies, we are studying the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And if you have studied chapter 3 in that book, then you have a much better understanding of what Paul means when he desires grace and peace to the people of Galatia. Grace is unmerited favor or blessing from God. You can't earn it. God freely gives it to those who respond to him in belief and repentance. Peace is assured, confident, calmness of soul in respect to God. And I'm off my notes here, Elsa. You really can have peace. Okay, back to my notes. Sorry, Elsa. In a very deep sense, Christians are the only ones who truly experience the grace and peace of God. Those who have not repented of their sin and placed their hope in eternal destiny in Christ are at odds with him. Now, unbelievers can experience times of peace, but they absolutely cannot have peace with God until they repent and place their eternal destiny in his hands. In fact, until we place our trust in Christ, the Bible says that we are enemies of God. Romans 5, 8 through 10 tells us, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through this life? Powerful verses. Back to Galatians 1, verses 4 and 5 tells us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The gospel is a very deep truth. It is so deep that the Bible shows us many facets and views of the gospel to help us understand it. Now, these verses, verse 4 and 5, they're very brief, but extremely important. He gave himself for us to rescue us from sin. Christ dying for us, for our sin, is the heart of the gospel. He did it all on the cross because there's nothing we can do to pay for our sins. And we are to give all glory and honor to him because of what he has done for us. So Paul has given the heart of the gospel. And now beginning in verse 6, Paul gives a stern warning about changing the gospel. So let's read verses 6 through 9. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. See, Paul is stunned at Christians who have been genuinely saved. They're forgiven of their sins. But very soon after that, they begin to fall for people trying to change the gospel, trying to syncretize Christian beliefs with other beliefs. And Paul has strong words for this. In verse 7, he calls it a perversion of the gospel when someone tries to change it. That's strong. And he says of those trying to do this, they should be eternally condemned. And he repeats that judgment in verse 9. See, people in general have a desire to believe something. This is why there has never been a culture or a civilization based on believing nothing. Off my notes, Elsa. Every civilization has some type of a belief system. And something there, other than what is here that we can see, something out there, up there, something transcendent, something bigger than all of us. Every culture has had those beliefs. Whether it's, well, I won't give a list, but just think of all the world religions. And even in many areas of the world where there may not be a specific religion, the idea of worshiping or honoring ancestors, or many places in Africa, there was the idea of what is called mana. Not manna like the Old Testament Israelites ate, but mana, which is the belief in something there that you have to appease. Might not be a specific god with a specific name, but something, often related to ancestors. Every culture has had a belief system in something. There's never been a culture, back to my notes also, that's never been a culture or a civilization based on believing nothing. Atheism, in any culture, atheism has always been a small exception, not the rule. And by the way, don't let anyone fool you. Atheism is as much a belief system as any religion. Don't have time now? Call me this evening, next week. I'll prove it to you. Atheism is as much a belief system as any religion. Once you have understood and then embraced the truth of the cross, Paul is astonished that they are turning away from it. Grace is a difficult thing for some people to accept because it means you no longer trust and depend on yourself. You must totally and 100% trust in Christ. And for some people, in fact, for all of us, this is humbling. It is humbling to admit you are a sinner. And pride keeps a lot of people from admitting that. It's humbling to say, I'm wrong. It's humbling to depend on someone else. We like to be independent and fix our own problems. But sin is a problem no one can fix. We can't even fix part of it. Now, when we think of a different gospel, and really listen close to this part, okay? When we think of a different gospel, we might think Paul means a totally different religion. But there are at least two reasons this is not the case. He is plainly talking about syncretism. He's talking about diluting the gospel with beliefs that are not Christian and still trying to call it Christian. So there are at least two reasons Paul is not talking about other religions. There are other places in the Bible that Paul compares Christianity to other belief systems, such as in Acts chapter 17. But here in Galatians, he's not talking about other belief systems. He is talking about trying to syncretize other beliefs into Christianity. And the first reason is that he calls it a different gospel. Not a different religion. Not a different belief system. He calls it a different gospel. And before I tell you the second reason, let me ask you a question first. If adding stuff to Christianity is not the true gospel, don't you wish there was a verse in the Bible that said that? Now, I hope this doesn't surprise you, but there is. And we just read it. This is the second reason Paul is talking about perverting the gospel, changing it, messing it up, ruining it, destroying it, and not a different religion. Verse 7 is saying that a different gospel is really no gospel at all. Any gospel other than the gospel of the Bible is not a gospel. It's a fake. Any variation of a gospel other than the gospel of the Bible is not a gospel. It's a fake. Any syncretized gospel other than the gospel of the Bible is not a gospel. It's a fake. There is only one true gospel. In verse 8, Paul is saying that even if Paul preaches a gospel from a different source, it's fake. It's heresy. And he says, even if it's from an angel, from the heavens, from even God himself, if it's a different gospel, it's heresy. Of course, God's not going to preach a different gospel. He is absolute truth. And those who preach a false gospel face a very severe judgment from God. So what is a gospel? A gospel message is a message on how to be reconciled to God, how to be forgiven of sin and in a right relationship with God. Did you know that all of us in this room, in Belcragen, in Chicago, Illinois, the whole world, everyone is in a relationship with God? Did you know that? The question is, are you in a right relationship or a wrong relationship? Have you been reconciled to Him, forgiven through the work of Christ, or not? See, there's only one gospel. Only one gospel. And it is the person and work of Jesus Christ dying on the cross to pay for our sins. That's it. Those who have not committed to yielding the entirety of their life to Christ by confessing sin, repenting of sin, and living for Christ are in a wrong relationship with God. As we read earlier, they are enemies of God. They are in rebellion against Him. And the only gospel that will save you, that will rescue you from being apart from God, is the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. You should never change your gospel, what you believe, based on anything other than God's word. And verses 8 and verses 10 are the reason I tell you often, do not follow me. Follow Jesus in His word. And as much as I think you all love me, I hope so, if you're following Christ because of me, you're following Christ for the wrong reason. You must own your own faith. So in verse 10, Paul basically says, I'm not preaching this true gospel to please people. I'm doing this to please God. And that's because Paul lived his life for an audience of one, serving Him and Him alone, putting Him first, putting the truth first. If you're watering down the truth, you're denying the truth. If you're blending the truth with something else, you're denying the truth. If you're allowing the pressure of the culture around you to change your beliefs away from what the Bible teaches, you are denying the truth. I'm a little biased. I think every sermon here at Northwest is extremely important. Every Sunday, whether it's me, Manolito, Tommy, Dustin, when we open the Word of God, I can't think of any sermon more important than this sermon right now. And next week, that sermon is very important because it's from the Word of God too. And the week after that, that sermon is very, they're all important. But perhaps this warning today is more relevant than ever because the pressure from the world to change what you believe is enormous. And it's going to get worse. I'm a try to be an optimistic guy. But I'm having trouble seeing in the near future how that pressure is going to go away. I'm telling you, to me, it looks like it's getting worse. And I worry about that. I worry about you. I worry about each one of you. And the circle where you work, circle of people where you work, or where you're involved in other activities in your neighborhood, your neighbors. If you're involved in any kind of a sport or a club, because a lot of people are not following Jesus. And you will hear people say things like, Well, you know, I've always believed it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. You'll hear people come up with all kinds of sayings. This last week, I was contacted by a family to be a part of the 9th funeral that I've been a part of this year. Over 40 years of ministry, and I cannot remember a year where I had 9 funerals in 1 year, where I was a part of 9. And it wasn't the time to debate theology, but while I'm meeting with family members, this has happened throughout this last year, not at every one. It's happened for decades. As I gently encourage people to consider Christ and the comfort and the forgiveness that he offers. In response, people often throw out these cliches, these sayings. If somebody will text me, I do not advocate texting in church. So let me, is there one person who's willing to text me right now? Okay, so nobody else can text me. Sarah's going to do it. And remind me to email you an article this week on when your shields should go up. It's a Star Trek reference, okay? And I'll email that article when I send out my weekly email. Because I'll be honest with you. There are times, most of the time, when it would be just easier to cave in to what the culture around is saying. Why fight the fight? Why fight the battle, right? Why fight that fight? Just give in. Go along with it. Everybody be nice. Did you hear the sermon I just preached to you? When you change the gospel, you no longer have a gospel. You have a lie, a fake, a forgery. So let me ask you this. Is it required to obey everything that Jesus taught us to be a Christian? 75% of it? 50% of it? See, it's absolutely required. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. It's pretty straightforward. And I'll admit, one of those times when your shields goes up needs to be, one of the times, what that means is, one of the times that you should worry that you're going to compromise the gospel is when it's tempting to take the easy way out and just go along with everybody else. This matters. If you remember that Old Testament history of Israel, just a couple of months ago, right? We went through those sermons. An entire nation, you hearing me? An entire nation was destroyed. Many of them were killed. Most of them were deported. And they were in bondage for 70 years. That's the nation of Israel, God's own chosen people, because they messed around with syncretizing the truth of God. God severely punished them. This is serious. Truth matters. And it breaks my heart ever so often when I hear of Christians that I know that have decided to leave the church, leave the faith, go along with the world. They say, oh, I've seen the light. No. Jesus is the light. He's the only light. This matters. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I wish I didn't have to preach hard sermons. In the Old Testament, the prophets were sometimes compared to watchmen. They were guards. And they were to proclaim the truth and point out when people were destroying the truth, when people were disobeying it, when they were trying to change it. There's one passage that says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. This is happening in our culture. Are you going to be strong enough to stand against it? I'm not talking about starting a culture war. It's already one going on. I'm not talking about being a part of it. I'm talking about you. One-on-one in the circles of your life. With gentleness and respect. Sticking with the truth. And I hope and pray you are, because it matters. It matters eternally. It matters. Our scripture reading earlier was from Exodus chapter 20, the beginning of the Ten Commandments. Do you remember how it started? It starts before God gives any commands. It starts with saying, God saying to the people of Israel, I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of bondage. Same truth applies to us today. For the Christian who has been forgiven of their sin, you've turned to Christ, you're following him. He is the Lord your God who delivered you from the bondage of your sin. Please, do not turn away from him. Jesus said the truth will set you free. He is God and God alone. He is truth and truth alone. Stick with Jesus. Stick with Jesus. Stick with Jesus. Don't you ever quit. Let's pray.